Welcome back to Agent Investor, inspiring stories of active agents investing in real estate and building passive income. In a business where potential deals are all around you, why not leverage your skills to invest for yourself, your family, and your future? And now, let's jump into the latest episode of Agent Investor.
Hey everyone, it's Tom Caffarella with Agent Investor. Agent Investor is the only platform that helps real estate agents get off the real estate roller coaster and start investing in real estate. At Agent Investor, we don't tell you to not sell real estate, but we ask and implore you to supplement your real estate agent income with passive income investing, with fix and flip deals, so that you are not 100% reliant on real estate sales to achieve your financial goals. I'm a real estate investor, but I started out as an agent, like most of the listeners who are listening to this right now. I found out early on that being a real estate agent alone wasn't enough for me. It was tough going month to month, never knowing what your income was going to be, starting off the year on January 1st, never knowing whether you're going to sell 10 houses, 50 houses, 2 houses, etc. And for me, building that passive income was huge for my family, for myself, and it's what we teach and train on each and every day. I've got a great episode for you guys today, and the episode is focused on where not to look when it comes to finding real estate investing deals. Now, keep in mind, I'm going to talk about some of the most commonly thought of areas to find real estate investing deals. And this episode is coming from conversations that I've had with real estate agents on how they're trying to find deals, how they're spending their time. And I'm going to talk about the lack of success that some of them have had using the strategies that I'm going to talk about today. I am going to spend a very small amount of time talking about the strategies that do work. Having said that, I always teach and train on what is most commonly used, what is best practiced in our industry in order to find great deals. And if you want more information on where to find great deals, the best thing that I would suggest that you do is to sign up and register for our upcoming free event at www.agentinvestorevent.com. Okay, so again, topic of the program is where not to look when it comes to real estate investing deals. Now, before I go into that, I do want to say really, really quickly that if you are a real estate investor, whether you want to fix and flip homes, whether you want to buy and hold small multifamilies, whether you want to own short-term rentals, whether you want to get into apartments, really doesn't matter what type of investing that you're doing. One of the most critical components of being an investor is to find a deal. In fact, I always talk about the three things that every investor needs in order to become a successful investor. Number one, you need to be a deal finder. Number two, you need to be a money finder. And number three, you typically need to be able to manage construction of some point. Now, if I'm going to rank all three of those things that you need to be good at, the number one thing that I would pick would definitely be deal finding. And most of you know that are listening about our agent investor partnership program, where if an agent has a great deal and they don't want to put up the money, or they don't have the money, or they don't want to do the construction, our team will actually put up the money and do the construction and split the profits with the agent that brought us the deal. So keep in mind that if you are just a deal finder, if you only learn and perfect to find deals, that is the only skill that you learn when it comes to real estate investing, you can still achieve financial freedom. Because again, out of those three skills, the number one thing that I would want to be good at is finding deals. So again, topic of today is what not to do. What not to do, again, comes out of the conversations that I have with real estate agents, with investors on a day-to-day basis on things that they are doing. Probably nobody has necessarily told them to do these things, but they believe that doing these certain methods are going to be able to find them great deals. And in most cases, the vast majority of cases, it is not the case. in the vast majority of cases, doing these methods is only going to lead you to burn time. When you're self-employed, when you're a real estate agent, when you're a real estate investor, time is money. How you spend your time will dictate the outcome that you get. I'm going to say that again. How you spend your time as a self-employed real estate investor, a self-employed real estate agent, is the difference between whether you make a modest income or maybe no income at all, or you achieve financial freedom. We've all got the same amount of time in a day. And again, how you spend your time matters. So again, I'm going to go through one by one all of these different strategies that I definitely don't recommend doing in 2024 to find great deals. Last thing I'm going to say before I get into it is that at the time of this recording, it is 2024. So I am talking about strategies that don't work very well in 2024. I do want to put the caveat out there that as the market changes, some of these strategies that I'm going to talk about right now may work in a different market. So if you happen to be listening to this at 2025, 6, 7, 8, 9, 20, 30, whatever it is, if it's way into the future, just keep in mind that the best way to understand what methods and strategies work today in this market, always make sure that you register for one of our events at www.agentinvestorevent.com to get the latest and greatest information. If you're listening live, if you're listening a week after, if you're listening in 2024, the information I'm going to talk about, of course, is going to be relevant today. So in no particular order, I'm going to go down the list and I'm going to start out with one as an example. One area to not spend a bunch of time are public auctions. Okay. So a public auction, in order to find a deal in our state, so in Massachusetts, in every state, it can be a little bit different. I'm going to speak from a Massachusetts vantage point, but they tend to work similarly, although not exactly the same, in different states. In Massachusetts, when somebody is behind on their mortgage and they get behind enough that the bank decides that they want to auction off that property, an auction notice goes out. You can find auctions online. I mean, if you literally Google find real estate auctions online or find real estate auctions in the county that you live in, you will find a list of the days and times that the auctions are taking place. In Massachusetts, the way that the auctions take place is that you actually go to the house in question. You're not allowed to go inside of the house, and the bank shows up and they basically set off a bidding war. And typically when you show up to an auction in Massachusetts and in many states, there can be anywhere from 2, 3, 4 investors all the way up to 20 or 30 or 40. In Massachusetts, in the greater Boston area, we most frequently and often see that there may be 10 or 15 or 20 investors. Okay. So again, we're talking about strategies that I don't recommend in 2024. I want to also give another caveat to say, we are talking about how to spend our time in the most efficient way. Now, as I'm saying, auctions aren't great in 2024. I can already hear the voice of somebody tell me that they know somebody who got a deal at an auction 6 months ago and it was a great deal. When I'm going through each one of these strategies individually, I want to be clear. I am not saying that you can't get a great deal at an auction. I am saying that the odds of you getting a great deal at an auction are very low. And the odds of you getting a great deal at using any one of these strategies in 2024 are very low. Why is that? Why aren't auctions great in 2024? Well, it has to do with the supply and demand factor, okay? When you look and you show up at an auction and there are 10 or 15 or 20 people bidding on that auction. And by the way, in the state of Massachusetts, you have to come with a non-refundable check at the auction of typically $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000. So you're showing up at the auctioneer opens up the bid, and you're bidding literally against 15 or 20 people. Now, in this market, in this 2024 market, where there is little inventory for investors to purchase, to either flip and buy and hold, competing against 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 other people is very challenging. what I see and why I don't recommend at the auction, why I don't recommend going, is because in general, there's always a person that's willing to pay a little bit more. So you may come into an auction and you may say, hey, my number in order to fix and flip this house or buy and hold this house is $300,000. And what you will most commonly see in this market is that the ending price won't be anywhere near the amount that you need to get it for, right? So if you're fixing and flipping a home, and let's say you want to make $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000, and you need to pay $300,000 for that property, what you're going to see is in real life, it's going to sell for $350,000 or $360,000 or $370,000 or $380,000. And you might be wondering, how can that person make money? And the reality is that they might not be. So if we're talking about a fix and flip deal, the person may not be super educated, or they may have just made a mistake, or maybe they know something about the interior of the house that you don't, or that person may not be an investor at all. That person may just be a person who has the capability of buying a house cash, wants to live in that house, or wants a family member to live in that house, and is willing to pay 90% of the value of that property, not trying to make money, but just trying to get a little bit of a discount off of fair market value. Or in some cases, you may have someone that is willing to even pay full market value. Why would somebody pay full market value? Well, if somebody is looking in any neighborhood across the United States right now, and they want to live in a very specific neighborhood, in general, in 2024, there isn't going to be a lot of selection. So this is something that's different in 2024 than other years. But in 2024, it is not surprising for somebody that's a more traditional buyer, maybe that has cash to spend, to go and bid because that's the only house available in that neighborhood. Now, to make matters worse on auctions, most of them get canceled, right? Either because the homeowner gets current on their mortgage, the homeowner might file bankruptcy, the bank might delay it. Sometimes the bank opens up the bid so high that literally as soon as the people get there and as soon as the auction bid is open, everybody just starts to walk away. So the other part about auctions that's very challenging is that you need to go to the house. So think about this logistically. There aren't too many auctions in this market, right? There aren't too many people that are super behind on their mortgage. And even if there are people who are behind on this on their mortgage, most of them in this market have enough equity that they can turn around and sell their house and make a profit rather than losing their house to the bank. Okay? So what does that mean? That means that within every given county in the United States right now, and you know, I'm making generalizations. Someone can argue that there could be a specific county where there's a lot of auctions, but most counties in the United States, definitely in New England, you're going to find that there aren't that many available auctions, which means that you're going to be traveling quite a distance. So don't be surprised that if you start to use auctions as your target, you may be driving an hour here, an hour there, only to show up and have an auction canceled. Okay. So again, am I sitting here saying that you can't make money at auctions? No. Am I sitting here saying that nobody's ever gotten a good deal at auction? No. What I'm saying is that in 2024, the odds that you're going to get a good deal at auctions are so low that I would not recommend spending my time there, right? Like anything else, if you walk into a gas station right now and you scratch a scratch ticket, can I tell you that you're not going to hit for $1 million? I can't tell you that. Do I believe that it is not worth your time and money to go scratch a scratch ticket at a gas station? No, I don't believe it. So keep that in mind as we're transitioning into all of these. So the next one that I see specifically agents spending time on, again, not saying that you can't get a deal here, but it's not where I would spend my time, are for sale by owners. So now that we've got our agent partnership program up there, we're, you know, partnering with one agent per week on average, agents are on the hunt looking for great deals. And one of the areas that I've seen agents refer me to and I see agents spending time on is for sale by owners. Now, let me tell you why I would not spend my time on for sale by owners and why the probability of you getting a deal with a for sale by owner is so low. Okay, so let's think about the mindset of a for sale by owner. Somebody that is a for sale by owner, their primary motivation for not listing their house with an agent in almost all cases is because they don't want to pay a commission. So keep this in mind. So I've got a house that I believe is worth, call it $500,000. And I list that house. I put up a sign for sale by owner, maybe put it on Craigslist, maybe try to syndicate it somehow the best I can without having an agent. Or I post it in Facebook, whatever I do. But I've got a sign out in the yard. Or maybe I'm putting on for sale by owner. And I am thinking in my head, you know, the general thing that most people that do for sale by owners think is that agents, this is what a for sale by owner mentality typically is. I don't need an agent. I can do everything that an agent does. And I'm not paying an agent 5% or 4%. I'm not paying an agent $15,000 or $20,000 or $25,000 to sell my house. Why would I not be willing? Well, because I think I can do just as good of a job. Maybe I even think I can do a better job. And I want to save that money. Now, if you are talking, now put your investor mindset on. Everything about getting a great deal on a property is all about a seller whose mindset is not that I need to get the most amount of money for my house, but that I value the convenience and I like the benefits that an investor gives me in order to take less for my home, right? I'm going to repeat that because it's very, very important. Most sellers do not want to sell to an investor. For most sellers, it does not make sense to sell to an investor. 80 to 90% of sellers, it makes no sense for them to sell to an investor. The other 10 or 20%, they've got Zillow, they've got Trulia, they've got Realtor.com, they've got their tax assessment, they kind of know what their property is worth, but they've consciously made the decision to say, even though I think I can get more listing my property, I am going to sell direct to a cash buyer, maybe because I don't want to have an open house, maybe because I don't want inspections, maybe because I want to control the timeline, whatever. The mindset of a FSBO is exactly the opposite. A FSBO is saying, I will take on more hassle and headache myself in order to get more money. It is why, in most cases, when somebody does a for sale by owner, it is very challenging to even get them to list their house, right? And I know some of you great agents out there are very good at approaching a FSBO, showing them the value of listing their home with you and converting them into a listing. But it is rare that a property that the mindset of an owner that does a for sale by owner listing is also of the mindset that they're willing to take a little bit of a discount, right? The two kind of just don't go hand in hand, okay? The cousin of that, I'm going to switch to another strategy that I don't love, is expired listings, okay? And again, I know there's some great agents there out there that work expired listings. They talk to people who had their home listed for sale. For whatever reason, it didn't sell. And they are then out there either proactively trying to get a listing or in some cases, potentially giving them the option of selling cash. Now, again, I am absolutely not saying that you can't ever get a deal with a FSBO. I'm not absolutely not saying that you can't ever get a deal with an expired listing. But why do listings expire in most cases? Right? Before I give you the answer, I want you to think about that. What is the number one reason that most listings expire? Now, if you were going to ask the seller and you were going to ask an agent that question, you'd get two different responses. In many cases, the seller would tell you that it was the agent's fault. In reality, as we know, as professionals, in most cases, the reason that that property did not sell is because it was not priced accordingly, okay? And in most cases, before a listing expires, an agent has typically had numerous conversations with that seller about dropping their price. And again, not in all cases, but in many cases, The reason that that property is not being dropped is either because the seller needs more money, or they want more money, or they believe that the agent didn't do a good enough job to get them the money that they believe their property's worth. All right, so let's put our investor hat on. So you're coming out, you're calling this expired, you're door knocking this expired, whatever you're doing to get face-to-face with this expired, and you're having the conversation with them. And the conversation is mainly them going to be telling you, hey, I know my property is worth X. My agent couldn't get it. Can you get me that price? Now, you are going into that meeting, in most cases, needing to get that seller to reduce their price to even get them to be able to sell the property on the MLS. As an investor, it's even harder, right? It is challenging enough to get somebody who's got a value in their head that's over fair market value down to fair market value. But now as an investor, you're probably trying to get that property for even less. So again, we're talking probability and statistics. Is the person who believes that their property is worth more than fair market value then going to take an offer for less than fair market value? Again, I would argue that in most cases, the answer is going to be no. Number four area that's very, very challenging to get good deals. And again, one that in general, I don't recommend is one that you've all heard me talk about, which is the multiple listing service. So I saved this one for number four right now because I could have, you know, started out with the multiple listing service. The reality is that once the property gets syndicated and it's on the MLS and basically everybody knows about it, it's the same thing we talked about with auctions. The odds of success are so low. So you've got a property, let's say that, you know, is in need of a lot of work. As soon as that gets syndicated out, everybody who's looking in that area gets that notification, which means when you see the matches on MLS and you see 500 people got the email, 1,000 people got the email, or you check potentially on Zillow and you say, wow, like, you know, 800 people saved this, 100 people saved this property, 50 people saved this property. That is all your competition that wants that deal or is at least considering that deal. So in general, like we talk about this all the time, the odds of success of getting a deal on the multiple listing service are very, very low because you're not just competing with other flippers and buy and hold people. You're also competing with people who want to live in those properties. This goes for buy and hold as well. Back in the day, you know, when properties were a lot cheaper, when there was a lot more inventory, less people were considering living in multi-unit properties. Fast forward to 2024, and in a lot of cases, a typical first-time home buyer or somebody who just wants a place to live is now considering living in a multifamily, now considering living in these types of properties, either because it's more affordable or because there's more inventory, okay? So with all of that being said, and I've stated this, you know, a million times already, odds of success are much lower. And that's what this episode is all about. It's about spending your time in the most efficient way. And I am going to talk a little bit briefly on where we look to find great deals. But again, like I mentioned in the beginning, if you are looking to get the most up-to-date information, the best thing that you can do is register for our upcoming event at www.agentinvestorevent.com. At each one of our events, we spend a ton of time focusing on how to find deals. The other thing about coming to our events, which is why I always recommend doing it, is you're in control. And whether you're listening to this via a podcast, Facebook Live, whether you're listening to this via an email I sent you, whatever the case may be, it's great to listen to this after the fact. It's great to listen to this live, but you can't ask questions. So when you come to one of our in-person events, I always have a segment where I open up the floor to questions, open up the floor to clarification. So I always recommend, no matter what, try to make it to an in-person event, which you can go to at www.agentinvestorevent.com. All right, the next place that I really wouldn't go looking for deals most of the time are meetup groups and in-person events. I run events, and I run, you know, I've run events for the past 15 years. All events are different. So I do want to kind of just clarify this for a second. The quality of the event, the quality of the meetup is drastically different from one to another. You have some where the people teaching and the people that are there to learn are all kind of in the same boat. They don't have a lot of knowledge. They don't have a lot of expertise, and they don't have a lot of deals. I'm not knocking that. I'm just telling you what reality is from, you know, being around at these events over the years. But even at the good ones, it is very rare for somebody to come there with a deal that they're having trouble sourcing. Why? Well, in 2024, and really way before 2024, the internet has changed everything. So people don't need to go to in-person events anymore to sell their deals, right? All that we need to do is join a Facebook group or post on our own Facebook account or send out an email. And in general, finding somebody who's going to be willing to either partner with us like our company does or work with us on a deal is very, very easy. So I know that there are some people that go to these events hoping that they're going to get a deal from a wholesaler that's there, from somebody else that might have something. And I'm just saying that, again, the odds of success of that in 2024 are so low because people don't need to go to in-person events anymore to promote their deals because they can do it online. And that leads me to my next one, which is another area I wouldn't spend a lot of time and effort looking for deals, which are those Facebook groups. There are Facebook groups for investors. If you're in them, you want to be in the bigger ones. The reason you want to be in the bigger ones is because they tend to have more people, they tend to post more deals, etc. But if you're going to go into one of these groups and you look at somebody that has a deal that's available, what you will see is that those deals tend to get 15, 20, 30, 40 comments. And in many cases, the deal wasn't a deal to begin with. But if it was, there is so much competition in those groups that it is very rare to get a deal. And I will tell you that I go in those groups once in a while, and I will tell you that in the last couple of years, I've gotten a deal out of it, one deal. And that's by me partnering with somebody, by the way. So keep in mind that I don't just have the typical approach. I'm actually willing to put up the money, do the construction, and split the profits 50-50. But what I find in those groups, and I found, and I think we'll continue to find as long as there's no inventory, is that when somebody posts an air quotations deal in a Facebook group or any online community like that, there is such a big audience that you are now competing with too many people. If you haven't gotten the theme yet of all of this, it is simple. If you want to get a great deal on any sort of property, whether it's a short-term rental, whether it's a buy and hold, whether it's a flip property, whether it's an apartment deal, you can't be competing with everybody. You have got to go where there's less competition. If that is the guiding principle, everything that I said today really didn't even need to be said. Like if you knew in your mind, okay, in order for me to get a great deal, I can't be competing with a lot of people. Is what I'm doing competing with a lot of people? If the answer is yes, you're unlikely to get a great deal, okay? So again, at our event coming up, I'm going to spend a lot of time focused on where do you go in order to get these great deals. I've spent most of today talking about where not to go, but by registering at agentinvestorevent.com, I will show you where to go. Okay, so one more thing to keep in mind here that I wouldn't put a lot of time, effort, and energy into is being on wholesalers' lists, okay? I do want to distinguish something really quick that's very important. There is a difference between knowing a wholesaler who brings you a deal and only brings you a deal and being on a wholesaler list where the wholesaler is blasting out to 100, 200, 300 people trying to buy deals. Again, guiding principle, I want to be somewhere where there is minimal competition. Being on a wholesaler list that gets blasted out to 100, 200, 1,000 people is not an area where there's limited competition. And I've had people, I just had a conversation with a friend of mine last night, and he said, I keep chasing my tail. I keep going out to all of these deals that this wholesaler keeps sending me, and I'm never getting anything. And I said, well, how many people are showing up at those showings? How many people are on their email list? And the answer was, I don't know the exact number, but it seems like a good amount. And I said, well, there's your answer. So again, I am definitely not saying that you can't find deals through good wholesalers that know what they're doing. But if those good wholesalers that know what they're doing are bidding out these properties and you are one of the many bidders, you are going to be in trouble. Okay. So, you know, to kind of finalize everything for today, I do just want to talk really, really quickly about, like, you know, where we do find deals, because where we do find deals obviously is just as important as where not to go. Okay. So the biggest thing that we're looking for, and again, our guiding principle when we're out there looking for great investing deals, is we're looking to minimize our competition. It's not that I am upset about the MLS or upset about meetups or upset about FSBOs. Like, I would buy any one of those deals if they made sense. It is just statistically speaking, that doesn't happen that often. Okay. So where are we finding our deals in 2024? We are finding them through relationships and through prospecting. All right, I'm going to explain both of those really quickly. So relationships. Obviously, I've got a brand called Agent Investor where we build relationships with agents. Part of the reason that we build, you know, this company and this brand is so that if an agent stumbles across a deal and they don't want to put up the money or they don't want to do the construction, they can bring that deal to us and we're going to partner with them 50-50. Okay? So we are building up agent relationships. That's something that any agent can do. I'm an agent. I'm a broker. I've got 400 plus agents. Most of the deals that get brought to me are not even from the agents that work for my company. Okay, so every one of you has the ability to network with other agents, co-brokers, people in your office looking for deals. But it doesn't just stop with agents. It goes to your sphere of influence as well. Does your sphere of influence know that you're looking for properties to buy? I know that everybody has heard the saying, don't be a secret agent, right? You know that if you don't tell anybody you're an agent, you're never going to get a listing. Same thing is true with investing. Does everybody in your SOI know that you're an investor, right? Do your other referral partners know? Do your attorneys know? Do your mortgage brokers know? Do your insurance people know? Does everybody that you know that you're an investor? If not, that's a problem and an area where you can really do well, okay? And then prospecting. So what does prospecting look like? Well, it comes down to picking a strategy where you are in front of people that are most likely going to be looking for a cash deal, right? So I teach about, you know, targeting and who kind of the ideal demographic is all the time, but it's no more simple than thinking about in your head, who are the type of people that could benefit from a cash offer and putting that message in front of them. There are many ways to do it, whether it's calling or texting or door knocking or mailing or running Facebook ads or running pay-per-click ads. And we teach and train on this stuff all the time. But those are the methods that work in 2024. All of the other stuff that I mentioned, I want to be really clear again. Could you find a deal that way? Yeah, maybe. Maybe you could. Maybe. But it's not going to be over and over again. It's not going to be repeatable. You're going to be, you know, fighting and fighting and fighting to find deals. Whereas if you just change your strategy to the ones I just mentioned, and again, we'll go into much more detail about this at our event that you can register for at www.agentinvestorevent.com, you can have a real business where you're generating these opportunities over and over and over again. All right, guys. Well, that's it for today. I appreciate you all tuning in. Be very conscious about how you're spending your time. Spending your time the right way. Do not spend your time doing the things that are easy that won't work. Spend your time doing the things that you know are going to get the results that you want. If you ever have a question on what works or don't, please reach out to me. The best way that I can help anybody that's listening is to help you determine how you should spend your time. Like I said earlier today, we all have the same amount of time in a given day. It's how we spend it that determines our net worth, all right? So if you are ever curious about whether or not you're doing the right things, feel free to reach out to me and I'll help you guys any way I can. Hope to see more of you at our upcoming events, www.agentinvestorevent.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks again for listening to the Agent Investor Podcast. And especially thank you for sharing the show with other agents and reviewing the show on iTunes. Every time you share the show and leave a review, you are potentially changing someone's life. To get free weekly education, strategies, and to connect with other agent investors across the country, join our free Facebook group at agentinvestor.com. Again, that's agentinvestor.com.